Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net, on the internet, AFR.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. We're here every Monday. We're here all week, actually, with this program, Today's Issues. Walker Wildman manning our Facebook page. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. We are on the Facebook. We're Facebook live streaming on Today's Issues Facebook page. You can find the articles there. Also, some people don't know that we have an app for the smartphone or your tablet device. You can download the AFR app and listen 24/7 wherever you are, so long you have a internet connection. So folks can download the AFR American Family Radio app and listen live.
Steve Jordahl in with us from AFR News. Good morning, Steve, and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, and Wesley, welcome back. Or Walker. Walker. Well, I was going to say, Walker, welcome back. You're a new dad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Wesley, your brother, set a really high bar in here. He brought in candy for us every day and took us to lunch every day and paid for it.
Wow. Well, so, I'm not going to meet those expectations, but I will man the Facebook page.
All right. Good morning, Steve. What do you got for us?
Well, you've been talking about the Supreme Court decisions that came out today, and one of which was the travel ban, and I know you guys have been talking about that. But I just found an interesting little sentence in the decision that the written decision that the Supreme Court set out about this travel ban. They kind of called out the left on the way that they do business. The court writes, they're giving these exemptions for who can come in from these countries. And they say, you know, if you're a close relative, if you have a job, or if you're going to a school, you can come in. They say, however, a nonprofit group devoted to immigration issues may not contact foreign nationals from the designated countries, add them to a client list, and then secure their entry by claiming injury from their exclusion. So apparently some groups were going and calling people in one of these six countries and saying, would you like to come to the United States? We'll put you on as a list
as someone who's got a job?
No, just someone who wants to come in the country. Remember, these exemptions weren't laid out before when they did this. They just were trying to find anybody that they could stick in the president's face as someone that they're, you know, hopefully it would be a mom with a baby that they could just play on the sympathy. Look what President Trump is doing. He's denying this mom and baby from getting milk and food.
You know what? Now, let's remember the reasons for this temporary travel ban that President Trump put into place. We see what's happening in Europe.
Yep.
Where every week there is a jihadi attack, and a lot of times it's from immigrants into the European countries. I mean, it's weekly now. It'll happen this week sometime, somewhere. Now, what President Trump, he was elected on, one of the main reasons President Trump was elected was on national security.
Yep.
And he understands the threat of Islamic terrorism against our country. You can call it radical Islamic terrorism, whatever you, I don't know what a non-radical terrorism looks like exactly, but you get the idea. He understands that. Maybe he sometimes doesn't know how to talk PC well enough.
But he's willing to name it.
He's willing to name it. So, but the policy decision that he made here was what went along with his campaign, and that is protecting the American people from terrorism. That was one of his main objectives as president. And so what he did was he got with the experts and said, you know, where do we need to slow down people coming into this country from so that we know who they are? Where are the terrorists mostly coming from around the world? Where are they located? And he identified these, was it six or seven countries?
Six
countries.
And actually, it was the Obama administration that named them.
They had named them earlier. Yeah.
That's where President Trump got his list from the Obama administration. And so he instituted the temporary travel ban on those countries, unless you had been, already had visas or something like that. There were a few exceptions to the rule. But the idea is to keep terrorists from coming into our country. So the motive is pure, and it's good, and it's the reason people voted for Donald Trump. Many people voted for Donald Trump. The motive that the political left and the mainstream media wanted to put on President Trump was that he hates Muslims and wants to keep them out of the country, and that's the reason he did this.
And they implied that it was a ban from every Muslim country. He's banning all Muslims.
Right, which was obviously not true at all, because more Muslim dominant countries were not put on the list than were put on the list. So the whole narrative was false, but it was Trump hates Muslims, therefore you can't do this travel ban to protect the American people. So says two federal judges. Go ahead.
So the reason that these six countries came in onto the list, it wasn't just because President Obama didn't just grab them out of the air. These are countries with no functioning government or governments that we have no relationship with. What happens when someone says we want to come into your country and stay for a while, they apply for a visa, our State Department will contact the country they're coming from. Do you know anything about this person, anything we should be concerned about? Do they have a criminal record? Are they radicalized? Well, you can't call Syria up right now and ask that because there's nobody to answer the phone. And the same thing goes with Somalia and Yemen and all these
Libya,
other whatever countries are on the list. And Iran is on the list. And we obviously can't trust them. We can't trust
them. Can't trust Yemen to tell you the truth.
No. So the president, it wasn't just that these six countries were just, let's pick six out of the air. These
Good
are six
point,
countries
Steve.
That we have no idea who's coming. We can't know.
Yeah. Right.
This is why it's so wrong to use a basic word, to do what the mainstream media did on this issue, what the Democrats did on this issue. President Trump's desire here is to protect the American people. This was a minimal decision to impose a travel ban on these six countries. As Steve just mentioned, many of them don't even have functioning governments. And furthermore, this was constitutional. And this has already been used by past presidents,
including President Obama.
Right,
including President Obama.
He banned Iraqis.
So the political left and the mainstream media, they know this. They know this to be true, but they want so bad to damage President Trump. What they do, they say this is a Muslim travel ban. Number one, they know that's not true. But what they do is this plays in to the caricature of President Trump that they want projected to the American people, and that is he's a hateful, bigoted person, and he wants to prevent Muslims from coming into America altogether, and that's the narrative they want to project, knowing that it's not true.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, President Trump, yes, he has in the past said a few things that almost every American was feeling, and that is, these Muslims are coming in here, and why is it always Muslims that are doing the acts of terrorism?
Right.
And I'm tired of it. He said things like that out in the open, but his point of his policy decision on this temporary travel ban was to protect the American people, and the political left and media, they want to say, no, this is just hateful speech. Go ahead, Walker.
And the word Muslim is nowhere mentioned in any of these orders. This is a strictly a policy
order. Sure
is.
NBC said so, Walker.
No, NBC didn't read it.
Okay.
But another thing is, and some in the Christian community have criticized, they've also criticized the president for this and claimed it to be, lacking heart and bigoted and mean-spirited, and we need to let people in. But I'll just say, you don't have to let possible enemies into your country to show hospitality and heart to people.
Right.
We can help them over there. We can assist them over there. We can set up safe zones without running the risk of letting terrorists enter our country. There is nothing, nice or friendly or American about letting terrorists into our country.
Two things cross my mind. You're absolutely correct, Walker. The Bible gives two different responsibilities to individuals and to the government. To individuals, we are to be loving to our neighbor. We are to feed the poor. We are to care for the sick. To governments, God gives the mandate to protect its citizens. So the government, we cannot hold the government to what God tells us as individual Christians to be doing. Number two, the decisions at the lower court were part of a very troubling precedent that's going on, a new trend that's going on, and that is that they are looking at the lower courts. The Supreme Court saw through this, it seems. The lower courts are looking at whatever the motive was behind the president when he did this ban, not at the language of...
Right.
And we saw it the same thing when it came to Ten Commandments monuments. Do you remember a few years back, they had two, one in Texas, one in a Midwestern state, Nebraska, I think, two monuments, two Ten Commandments monuments. One was okay, one was not, even though they were almost identical, because they determined in one case that the people who set it up kind of intended it for it to be a religious thing, and in the other case, they kind of intended it to be part of a display of law or whatever it was.
That might have been Kentucky.
It might have been Kentucky. But, I mean, this is the trend, and it's something maybe we can bring up with Abe next time he's in, which is to go behind the written facts of the law to what was your intention. Did you intend to discriminate against Muslims? We don't really care what the statute itself says.
Right.
What do you intend? And it's a disturbing trend, and it's part of what we hope to reverse with justices like Gorsuch.
Well, and the difference with constitutionalists when they talk about original intent is we start with the words of a law or a measure or a resolution or whatever. And then to understand what the law says, you might have to look at what they meant by those words. What you're saying the left is doing is forget about the words. We'll decide what they meant by
not
the law.
Not the founders,
but the people
that are bringing each individual suit.
Right. Yes, but I'm saying this.
You're right.
There's a difference between when we say original intent, what do the words of the Constitution mean or the words of a law? Mm-hmm. You are starting with the words, and then you're saying if we need to understand what they meant by that, that's fine.
It's the difference between if you were interpreting the Bible, original intent as the framers meant it would be like looking at a concordance or a Bible reference book when you're looking at what the Bible says. Well, this word is used this way so many times, this must be what they mean. Mm-hmm. Intent would be like going to someone who robbed a bank and him saying, but I really needed the money because I was going to starve, and that's the intent. It was a good intent.
Yeah.
Different.
Hey, guys, I wanted to comment. I wanted to read something on what we're talking about. Folks, if you haven't heard, earlier this morning, the Supreme Court of the United States announced that they were allowing some of President Trump's temporary travel ban on six people from six different countries, they were allowing some of that to be in place until they have the full hearing in October to decide the constitutionality of what the president has decided. So I guess you could say it's a partial victory. Well, I was reading the Associated Press story on this, and here's in the middle of the story, it says that Justice Clarence Thomas, by the way, it was a 7-2? They didn't rule.
They
just said that they're going to hear it in October. But anyway, in the middle of this story for the Associated Press, it says Justice Clarence Thomas, joined by Justices Samuel Alito and Neil Gorsuch, said that the government has shown it is likely to succeed on the merits of the case when it's heard in full, and that it will suffer, it being the government, the United States, will suffer irreparable harm with any interference. Thomas said the government's interest in preserving national security outweighs any hardship to people denied entry into the country, which is the point, that national security interest and the right of the chief executive officer of this country, commander-in-chief, to protect our country in this way is perfectly constitutional. It has historical precedent, and furthermore, that takes priority over anybody in Libya's hurt feelings.
Right, especially people who don't really have a right to the Constitution's protections.
These liberal judges, though, say, no, people anywhere in the world have a right to come here, and for President Trump to deny them entry for any reason is...
Simply because he's hostile to them.
Yeah, that's what the... See, these federal judges, they don't... These liberal federal judges like that, they don't live in the real world. If this liberal federal judge over in Hawaii who implemented this, who stopped President Trump's travel, temporary travel ban, you remember that? What's the guy's name? Who was a college friend of President Obama?
They graduated together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you told him, okay, then we're going to send all these people to live in your neighborhood.
Right.
And we're going to set up camps in your neighborhood so all these refugees or all these people can come live with you.
And then one of them shouts Allahu Akbar and stabs a police officer.
Then he would say, no. Then that would be the real world.
Right.
But these people, most of them don't live in the real world. But anyway, I guess it's partially good news that the Supreme Court has let this stand until they hear the case in October, hear the government's case in October. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve Jordahl, what's story number two?
Story number X. This will be two for my half hour. The second one for my half hour here. Democrats in Congress are calling for an investigation into Loretta Lynch. And we're speaking specifically about California Representative Adam Schiff and California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who have both said that stuff that James Comey said in his testimony before Congress really bothered them. In fact, this is what Jim Comey said.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately.
Talk Were about the email scandal
publicly. Were there
other things
that contributed to that you can describe in an open session?
Probably the only other consideration that I guess I can talk about in open setting is that at one point the Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me.
Can you give us additional details on that?
Well, it concerned me. The Clinton campaign at the time was using all kinds of euphemisms, security review, matters, things like that, for what was going on. We were getting to a place where the Attorney General and I were both going to have to testify and talk publicly about it. And I wanted to know, was she going to authorize us to confirm we had an investigation? And she said, yes, but don't call it that, call it a matter. And I said, why would I do that? And she said, just call it a matter. Mm. And so that concerned me because that language tracked the way the campaign was talking about the FBI's work, and that's concerning.
It gave the impression that the campaign was somehow using the same language as the FBI because you were handed the campaign language. And told to be able to use the campaign.
And again, I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but it gave the impression that the Attorney General was looking to align the way we talked about our work with the way a political campaign was describing the same activity, which was inaccurate.
Can I say something?
Please
you
do.
You can.
Mr. Comey, where were the leaks? Why did you not leak this injustice when it was happening?
That's a good point.
In your piggy bank back here? To then release after you're out of office.
Well, what you got here is you've got the Attorney General of the United States, who is a cabinet-level official, Loretta Lynch. Talk about your obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
What he's just described as obstruction of justice, probably not. But the Attorney General of the United States is doing the bidding for President Obama and Hillary Clinton, because she doesn't want to see Hillary Clinton harmed by this investigation. So she goes into the attorney. She either has the FBI director James Comey come into her office and say, "Here's how it went. Let me tell you something, buddy. You better change your language and quit calling this an investigation because it's going to hurt Hillary." Mm-hmm. And we don't want to hurt Hillary now, do we? That's what Loretta Lynch said to him in maybe a different way. And by Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, going to a meeting, her half hour secret meeting with Bill Clinton a week before, knowing that's fully inappropriate to do so at the very least, they were in cahoots. Obama, Lynch, to protect Hillary Clinton from... any damage, and they want to go after Trump on on they want to go after President Trump on what exactly? On what kind of?
There's really nothing there. Yeah. It, just to be clear, and I probably should have set the bite up like this. They are talking about the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, whether or not she improperly handled classified
data. Why do the Democrats want to open up this can of worms?
Well, two things are happening here. The Democrats want to do this because, believe it or not, not everything that happens on the Hill is partisan, and they are legitimately concerned. Schiff and Feinstein.
What if they're Bernie people, though?
Well, they might be. I don't know. But
no, seriously. Yeah. If they're Bernie Sanders people, they would want to get to the bottom of
well,
this.
Well, I think it's
because
they
were done wrong by Hillary Clinton's people. Right. They were cheated. And by gosh, we want to know more about this.
Here are the important parts that happened today, though. These people asking this means that we're now going to have a congressional investigation into Loretta Lynch and her handling and the handling at the FBI of the Clinton email scandal. And it's also fair game for the special counsel who is now investigating the Russia probe to go there if there is a link between what happened in the election and what happened with the emails.
I still would like to know the motivation for Democrats, some of these Democrats. I'm removing the possibility of this being honest inquiry based on their desire for justice.
Mm-hmm. I would say I don't know much about the congressman, but I have mentioned I have been impressed with Senator Dianne Feinstein from California. She does seem to be on a lot of things. She's partisan when she has to be, but she does seem to be the kind of person who wants the truth. I would say that for her, I don't know about the other guy. The other guy might. This may just be honest inquiry. She may just think that it's bad for the country to have anybody, even a Democrat attorney general, doing something like
Adam that. Schiff and Dianne Feinstein are part of the Intelligence Committee. Their job is to look at the intelligence agencies, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, Homeland Security, how they're doing it, protecting our country, and how they're doing their job. This is almost like this isn't like a partisan inquiry into something that's happening here. This is bigger. I think they see that this is bigger. This is Russia interfering with our elections. This is classified data being mishandled, and potentially, because we know that people tried to hack into Hillary Clinton's email server and some were successful, all of these emails hanging around now in a cyberspace, this can hurt our country. Mm-hmm. And I think there really is a point at which some of these Democrats say, okay, wait a minute, let's not play this game right now, because it's not just the Democrat or Republican Party that's at stake. It's the security of our country.
One thing I have questions about is Comey claims that he came out and essentially recommended no indictment and closed the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server because he saw that Loretta Lynch was not able to because she met on the tarmac with former President Bill Clinton. He acts like he did that independently without talking to her. I find it hard to believe that an FBI director will not only close an investigation, but also recommend no indictment, which is not really his arena, without talking to the Attorney General.
Very quickly, if Lynch came in and told him to say matter, Lynch came in and told him to shut down the investigation.
Okay.
In essence.
In essence.
She said it without saying it.
She might have said it.
They have an
which may not be illegal. You know, it may just be politically damaging.
And all the while, I read over the weekend, we got this asteroid headed toward Earth.
Yeah. And nobody, we still have 3 good days to talk about stuff.
Nobody's even talking about that. Nobody's even talking about that. Okay, folks, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.